ओके माता जी, ठीक हूँ।
हरे कृष्णा। आई वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू आवर भक्ति संगा जपा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल ऑफ आवर मिड मॉर्निंग जपा सेशन, सॉरी मिड मॉर्निंग सेशन ऑफ चैतन्य चरितामृत क्लास। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हर ग्रेस कीर्तिदा सुंदरी माताजी टू एनलाइटन ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ चैतन्य चरितामृत अंत्य लीला 3.138 ऑनवर्ड्स। Hare Krishna, Kirtida Sundari Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and enlightening on the topic of Antya Leela. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Shama Supriya Mataji, for your very, very beautiful chanting, for reciting Bhagavad Gita verses, and for warmly welcoming everybody. Thank you all so much for all your valuable association. So, we'll start. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya, Jayo Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ante Leela, chapter number 3, entitled The Glories of Srila Haridas Thakur. And today we'll start with text number 138.
Eta Bali Tare Nama Upadesha Kari, Uthi Acha Leela Thakura Bole Hari Hari.
After thus instructing the prostitute about the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Haridas Thakur stood up and left, continuously chanting Hari Hari. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swami Niti Namine Snigdha Cheta Subhraneta Vagmi Mascara Saplatam Prabhupada Gata Prana Naomi Bhakti Charu Padam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam bangum langayate giram yat kripaha tamaham vande shri guru deena tarini. Hare Krishna. So thank you all so much once again for giving this opportunity to speak something on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that too Ante Leela, and on glories of Srila Haridas Thakur. So I'll seek blessings and prayers and wishes from each and every one of you to please shower your heartfelt prayers, blessings, so that I can speak something relevant to this topic and stay on Srila Prabhupada's purport and convey the right message that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada wants us to convey to the whole world. So I bow down to each and every one of you. Vancha kalpatarubhascha kripa sindhu vayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavrindiki jay. Okay, so let's begin our class. So this verse is talking about that how Haridas Thakur instructed the prostitute on the process of chanting the holy name. And after instructing her, Haridas Thakur, he left that place by just chanting Hari Hari. So we all know that we are, the context is that we are, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is narrating one of the pastime of Srila Haridas Thakur. So just a quick recap, you know, as usual, just, you know, to set up the context of this verse and the future verses. I don't know how much the time permits and how much we'll be able to cover. But just to set up a context, let's move back to few pages of Anta Leela and see what happened and how this conversation started. So I know a lot of speakers have covered, but still, you know, as I've been doing a little bit of summarization. So let's do it and follow the same protocol. So we did the pastime of Damodar Pandit, that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvip to take care of his mother. And there Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ended that episode by saying that the activities of the Lord are inconceivable. So he doesn't want to comment anything more on it. So he stopped and then, you know, he started on the real pastime of, as the chapter entitled, on the glories of Haridas Thakur. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami started off that one day Mahaprabhu, he met Haridas Thakur, and there he inquired from him how the people in this age of Kali Yuga will be delivered. Hearing this question, Haridas Thakur was a little perplexed that why Mahaprabhu, being a Supreme Personality of Godhead, is asking me such question. But this is the, you know, mood of a devotee, that a devotee accepts everything. So he accepts everything that comes from his spiritual master. Sometimes we notice that, you know, sometimes spiritual master himself guides us to sit on a Vyasasana and give class. And there the spiritual master is sitting in the audience. So the devotee should not feel that, you know, oh, now I've taken a superior position and consider spiritual master as an ordinary man. Of course, that's the biggest offense. Rather, the devotee should feel that this is the service given to me by my spiritual master. And then, you know, the devotee should take the blessings of the spiritual master and, you know, carry on the services, whatever is being given to him or her by the spiritual master. So why the spiritual master does so is that he wants to train his disciples. And here also, Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, want to glorify Srila Haridas Thakur. And therefore, he's putting forward all these questions. And this is what Harinam Chintamani is, that has been commented on by Bhakti Vinod Thakur also. So very humbly, you know, Haridas Thakur accepted whatever is coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what humility is. Humility is not just, you know, saying rejection and saying, oh, I'm so fallen and I cannot do anything. No, that's not humility is. Humility is that when we accept the orders of the spiritual master and the orders that come from the Supreme Lord, and accept it and then act on it with full courage. That is what humility is. Humility is not that always saying that I'm so fallen and Prabhupada say you are most of nothing. You know, so even if we say we are most fallen and Prabhupada say, then you are like Hiranyakashipu, then you know definitely you are greatest because Krishna will come and deliver you. So we are most of nothing. We are not even most fallen. So, but coming to the point is that how Haridas Thakur accepted it, and so he taking the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that you please recite on my tongue and let whatever is supposed to come out should come out from my lotus, from my mouth, so that you yourself will be glorified. So this is how the mood of a devotee is. And so answering to his question, what Mahaprabhu asked, that how people in this age of Kali will be delivered, especially those who are killing cows and they are ruining this Brahminical culture and is engaging in some sinful activities. And that's why, you know, even Narottam Das Thakur in one of his bhajan, he writes, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Pai Behara. That you are, O Lord, you are the one who came to this world and took the form of a devotee. And you are the one who is Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara. You have incarnated to deliver this, you know, fallen souls like those who are specially eating cows and killing and, you know, opening slaughterhouses. So Mosamo Patita Prabhu Na Pai Benara. And very in a very humble mood, Narottam Das Thakur is saying that you have come to deliver Patita Pavan. I am the most Patita Pavan. So I have the rightful claim that you please first deliver me. But and in the same mood, Haridas Thakur also replied that these Yavanas, you know, these cow killing people, they are very much accustomed to say some abominable words like haram, haram. Haram means something abominable. That's the meaning of haram. Something that doesn't hold any value. So, but Lord's holy name is so merciful that Lord, when they chant haram, haram, the Lord consider as if they are calling out to me and they are saying, hey Ram, hey Ram, oh my Lord Ramachandra, oh my Lord Ramachandra. And this is what is Namabhas. That's what Haridas Thakur brings up this point of Namabhas, that through this Namabhas, by chanting the haram, the word, abominable word, you know, by chanting this word, Lord is so merciful that he considers that they are chanting my name, O Lord Ramachandra, hey Ram, hey Ram. So definitely, but through this Namabhas only, they will be delivered. So that's the answer that Haridas Thakur gives. So just, you know, to extend a little bit on this, I just want to go through Harinam Chintamani, where Bhaktivinod Thakur comments and he writes that actually there are three levels of chanting. I don't know whether previous speakers have covered it or not. If it's a repetition, kindly accept it, because repetition in Krishna consciousness is always benefit. So please accept it, because I have not been regular in past few weeks about hearing that what has been covered by which speaker. So just, you know, going through. So please accept that. So there are three levels of chanting that Haridas Bhaktivinod Thakur writes. First is the Nama Parad, when we chant the holy name with offenses. So with offenses, it's not that chanting will not give benefit. Chanting gives benefit even if we chant with offenses. But the benefit will be very, very slow, because just like, you know, they are saying that they are chanting this abominable word, but the holy name is so merciful. So if we chant the holy name with offenses, definitely the desired result of getting Krishna Prema will not be achieved. And so first is this Nama Parad, when we chant the holy name with offenses. So definitely we have to come over such kind of chanting, that we don't chant the holy name with offenses. And there are list of offenses. We all know, every day in the morning we recite, even in this conference call we recite. So we should try to restrain ourselves from committing all those offenses, especially while chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord. The next is the Namabhas, that what Haridas Thakur has, in, you know, came across, and, you know, he said this verse that just through Namabhas, such Yavanas, such cow-killing people will be delivered. So what is this Namabhas? Namabhas is that when we chant without knowing why we are chanting. Okay, so Namabhas is basically clear stage of chanting. Now, here also, clear stage of chanting is that when we are chanting without offenses. First of all, Namabhas should be without offenses, no matter how we are chanting, but it should be without any offenses. That is what Namabhas is. So Harinam Chintamani describes that basically there are two types of Namabhas. One is the Chaya Namabhas, other is Pratibimba Namabhas. What is Chaya? Chaya means shadow. So when the sun is covered by the clouds, the sun is there, but it is covered temporarily by the clouds. But eventually, when the clouds go away, the brilliance of the sunlight will be manifested. So same is the case of Chaya Namabhas. When our chanting is being covered by the clouds of our ignorance, not covered by the clouds of our offenses, but is being covered by the clouds of our ignorance. But eventually this namabhas, this chaya namabhas will be, the ignorance will go through the knowledge. When we go deep into the knowledge, the ignorance will eventually go, and the shudnam, the brilliance of shudnam will come. So that is what is chaya namabhas. Another is the pratibimba namabhas. Pratibimba namabhas is when the sunlight is manifested with reflection. Pratibimb means an image or a reflection. When we see our pratibimb in the water, right? The reflection, what is it? Means reflection, right? So just as the sunlight is misinterpreted when the reflection is there on the surface of the water. So when we see the reflection of sunlight on the surface of the water, that actually is not sunlight, right? It's just a reflection, right? So this distorted reflection, it allows only an illusion, illusory perception of the original source of light. The reflection of sunlight on the surface of water will not give the desired result of the sunlight, okay? So it will be a simply an illusionary perception that will be made of the original source of light of the sunlight. So basically, Mayavadis, they chant like this, which is a Pratibimba Namabhas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that through Pratibimba Namabhas, one cannot come on to the Shudnam. It's only through Chaya Namabhas, which is the real Namabhas, through which one can go from Namabhas stage, clearing stage, to Shuddhanam stage. Now this Chaya Namabhas, it's a little technical, but it's very easy to understand. So please bear with me. It's very important also. So Chaya Namabhas is the real Namabhas. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. And is further categorized into four different parts. First is the Sanketya. Next is Parihasa. Third is Stoba, and next is Hela. So these are the four types of Chaya Namabhas that is being taught by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani. So the Chaya Namabhas is the real Namabhas, because it's only through Chaya Namabhas that naturally the pure holy name of the Lord will manifest in a gradual manner. It will not happen a day. In a gradually, just like when the sun is covered by the clouds, but eventually when the clouds go away, the brilliance of the sunlight comes. So what is these four types of Chaya Namabhas? First is the Sanketa, which means to utter Lord's holy name while aiming or calling somebody else. Okay, so here Srila Haridas Thakur gives the example of Ajamil. We know this pastime of Ajamil. We have heard it in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam classes and other classes. And of course, I know previous speakers must have covered even this pastime of Ajamil. So that is what is Sanketa Namabhas. Ajamil, when he was chanting, he was not thinking of the Supreme Lord. He chanted the name of Narayana on his deathbed, but there he was aiming and calling somebody else. And who somebody else was? His son. He was calling his son, but there was no offenses involved. Very wholeheartedly, with full heart, he was calling out his son Narayana. But since his son's name is the name of the Supreme Lord, and Lord's name, form, qualities, they are all together one. They are absolute. They are on absolute platform. This Sanketa Namabhas is actually the real Namabhas, and eventually it will go into Shuddhana. So that is what is the meaning of Sanketa. In Hindi, Sanketa means to point out to something. Right. So when we chant the holy name with pointing or aiming on somebody else, but not keeping in consideration on the Lord's holy name, that is what is Sanketa Namabhas. But yes, there should be no offenses involved into it. If there are offenses, then it is a Namaparad. Till the time there are no offenses, only then, you know, such chanting can be categorized into Namabhas stage. So moving forward, next is the Parihasa. Parihasa means jokingly, in a joking manner. So if we utter the holy name of the Lord while mocking or mimicking someone, then, you know, then that is known as parihasa. So this parihasa, if it is involved some offenses to it, then definitely it is not namabhas. Till the time the offenses are not there, it is namabhas. The third is the stoba. Stoba means to utter some Lord's holy name while singing. While singing some song or uttering some words. So while singing or saying something, if we happen to call out Lord's holy name, then it is known as stoba. But the person who is singing or who is saying some words is not mindful of Lord's holy name. He doesn't know that he's calling out Lord's holy name, but he's just saying or singing some song which involves Lord's holy name. So it is also without offenses. So this is also namabhas. And the last is hela. Hela means to utter Lord's holy name very carelessly, but without offenses, while eating, while chanting, while sleeping, while playing. That is what is hela. So the underlying point is that there should be no disrespect. There should be no offense. Though the loving relationship with the Supreme Lord is not established, but there should be no offenses. And that's what it is all about, namabhas. And the third, we all know, shuddhanam, which is the desired result of chanting. And that is pure chanting of the holy name. When we chant, not with fear, not with duty, but purely with love of the Supreme Lord. When we chant that holy name, that is what is known as shuddhanam. So Haridas Thakur then moving forward, he gave the example that how Ajamil, he was a great sinner, but since he called out the name of his youngest son, Narayana, he was finally delivered from the bondage of Yamaraj, and how through Namabhas, you know, he got liberated. We all know that he got a second chance, and then we went to Haridwar, and then he chanted, and then he chanted his Shuddhanam, and he perfected his life. So Haridas Thakur says, Namabhasa haite haya sarva papa shaya. And in next verse he says, Namabhasa haite haya samsara shaya. So this is, he's saying, the effects of Namabhas chanting is that through Namabhas chanting, one get freed from all the results of sinful life, and one can also eradicate one's all reactions of sinful life. So results are also mitigated, as well as there are no reactions through Namabhas chanting. So that's why it is known as clearing stage. Okay, means the clouds are slowly been moving and the sunlight is ready to come out. So that is what. And when the clouds are completely removed and the sunlight is manifested with its full brilliance, that is what is shuddhanam. So hearing all this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very happy within his heart. But still, you know, he didn't stop. He inquired further from Haridas Thakur. And the second question he asked, that on this earth, there are so many living entities. Okay, forget about those yavanas or those malechas who are doing all kind of abominable activities. Okay, fine, you said that they will be delivered. Well, what about those living entities, some moving, some non-moving? What will happen to them? How the trees, plants, insects, and other living entities will be delivered from this material bondage? This was the second question that was asked by Mahaprabhu to Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur replied that they can be delivered by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is what is Sankirtan. When we congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord loudly, you know, then, you know, all these non-moving or moving, you know, insects, trees, plants, they all will be delivered. In this regard, there is a very beautiful pastime of Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada sent his disciples to do this Harinam. They went onto the street and they came back within half an hour. So Prabhupada said, what happened? Why you came back so early? You went for Nama Sankirtan, right? Why do you came back? And they said, Prabhupada, hardly there were anybody. So, you know, we thought, okay, let's go and do some other service. Prabhupada said, What do you mean that there were nobody? Can't you see the trees, the plants? There will be so many insects, so many flies. Can't you see all of them? You would have chanted for them. This Harinam chanting is just not for this human beings. When you are chanting loudly, you are delivering even those who are not have this opportunity to speak, just like the plants and trees. So you are delivering them. And this is what Haridas Thakur is saying, that yes, through this loud chanting, through this sankirtan, when we congregationally chant the holy name, all these will be delivered. And in this regard, you know, also I will just state a little bit more that chanting, first is that when we chant through sankirtan, right? When we sing the holy name of the Supreme Lord congregationally, that is what is sankirtan. Next type of chanting is japa, what we do at our home. So when we do japa, that is also, you can, in one sense, can be called sankirtan. Because meaning of sankirtan, sang means samyukt irupena, right? Taking together. So when we take all other friends, devotee friends together and sing loudly, that is also known as sankirtan. Param vijayate Shri Krishna sankirtanam, right? But when we chant our japa, that is also known as sankirtan. Because when we chant through samyukt rupena, means we involve our mind, our body, our senses, our soul, everything is involved in our japa. So that can also be categorized in sankirtan. So japa can also be done in three ways. There are three bona fide ways of chanting japa. First is through vachik, through loud chanting. And only through this loud chanting, it is basically benefiting us so that we can concentrate more on the name of the holy name through our, like our mind get distracted, right? But when we chant the holy name vachik through loudly saying, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when we are chanting this way loudly, then we are also hearing, people who are sitting beside us are also hearing, and if there happen some insects, some flies, some bugs, some trees, something plants are there, then they will also get benefit from this chanting. So this is what is known as vachik, loud chanting. And next comes the manasik. Manasik chanting is when we chant only through our mind. So normally our Gayatri mantras are supposed to be chanted manasik, where there should not be a lip movement, also should not be there while chanting our Gayatri mantras. It should be totally in our mind, focusing our whole mind onto those Bija and Nyasa mantras. Then third is Upamsu. When there is a lip movement, tongue movement, and only we can hear. Even a person who is sitting beside us cannot hear that we are chanting. But yes, we are hearing. So that is what is the third type of chanting. So the first type of chanting, manasik chanting, actually, you know, is mainly for the Gayatri mantras. Yes, it's said that Haridas Thakur used to chant 64 rounds. 192 rounds he used to chant. So 64 he used to chant vachik, 64 he used to chant manasik, and 64 he used to chant upamsu. But you know, normally manasik chanting is on a very, very high platform, because the mind, our mind is such that, you know, it gets distracted very easily. So I have tried once in my life manasik chanting. I did just one round and it took me 15 to 20 minutes to chant just one round. It's really very difficult, especially, you know, conditioned soul like me. It's very difficult because it's so hard to focus on your on the mantras, right? But otherwise, all three are bona fide. And especially this vachik, it is meant for the benefit of other living entities also, and for our own selves also. So these are the three bona fide ways of chanting. And then, you know, Haridas Thakur was mainly concentrating on this vachik, basically sankirtan, calling out the holy names loudly. And then he quoted that how Haridas Thakur heard from Balabhadra Bhattacharya that how he went accompanied Mahaprabhu through on the way to Vrindavan, and they were crossing Jharkhand forest, how Mahaprabhu, through his loud chanting, he induced and influenced even the animals. Everybody, all living entities were chanting the holy name. And, you know, everyone was dancing in ecstasy. So that's the benefit of loud chanting. And that's what the answer that Srila Haridas Thakur gave. That, oh my Lord, you yourself has propagated this loud chanting of holy name. So whenever a person or devotee will chant this loud chanting, definitely all the plants or the trees, moving and non-moving living entities, will be benefited. So he said that you yourself has preached this loud chanting, and this way everybody will be relieved from the clutches of material bondage. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he was really very happy with all the answers that Haridas Thakur was giving. But then again, Mahaprabhu put forward another question. And he said that if all the living entities are liberated from this entire world, because you are saying that even the Yavanas, the Malechas, those who are doing all kind of abominable activities, they will be delivered through the chanting of Haram, Haram. And all the non-moving and moving small insects, plants, trees, they will be delivered. They will be liberated from the loud chanting, the sankirtan of the holy name. Then Mahaprabhu said that if all the living entities are liberated, then this entire universe will be devoid of living beings. This, you know, Mahaprabhu put forward. Then he said, what will happen to this material universe? Who is going to reside here? Because everybody will be delivered by somehow or the other, directly or indirectly. Then who will be there? This, basically, this material universe will be devoid of living entities. And to this, Haridas Thakur said, no. He said, he gave an analogy that how in a prison, there are so many prisoners, right? But if one thinks that the prison would be empty if all the prisoners will adopt good behavior and everybody will be released, and so the prison house will be empty, that is incorrect. Even if all the prisoners within the jail, they are freed, other criminals will come and fill it again. So a prison house will never be vacant, for there are many prospective criminals who will fill this prison cell. So therefore, this material world will never be devoid of living entities. You know, some will gradually move up and then they can be liberated, but others will definitely come down and they will fill up that place. And then, you know, Haridas Thakur gave the example that when Lord Ramachandra was here and ruling Ayodhya in this material world, so basically when he was there, when he wind up his pastime, he took all the living entities, everybody from Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead. And same thing happened in Vrindavan also. When Krishna came and performed his material pastime, then all the living entities of Bauma Vrindavan was taken back to Godhead, you know. So he said, but still we see that Ayodhya and Vrindavan are still filled with other living entities. So to this, Haridas Thakur said that no, that point will never come, that this material world will be devoid of any living entities. And then he said that, oh my Lord, I don't know why you are putting forward all these questions, but I know one thing, that nothing is astonishing in the activities of the Supreme Lord. And this way, Haridas Thakur, you know, he quoted a very beautiful verse. This is text number 88. He says, Tomara yei lila maha amrit rasindu, mora gona gochara nahe tara ekabindu. He's saying, oh my Lord, your pastimes, your activities, your dealings is like an ocean. It's like an ocean of nectar. And how is it possible for me, for a person like me, to conceive that how great ocean is, where I'm not able to understand even a drop of it? And you want me to conceive for the whole ocean? It's impossible, because I don't even understand a drop of this ocean. So that's the humble mood that Haridas Thakur has, and so we should also follow in his footsteps. So this way, greatly satisfied with all the statements of Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu very lovingly he embraced and he glorified Haridas Thakur. He glorified him in front of other his intimate devotees in Gambira. And to this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he went on describing the pastimes of Haridas Thakur. And he said that when he stayed for some time in the forest of Benapola, so we all have gone through that, I'm pretty sure that we have covered, but still we'll quickly recap this whole pastime, that how Haridas Thakur, he stayed for some time in the forest of Benapola, and there he constructed his cottage, and he was in a very solitary forest. He was staying all by himself, and there he planted a tulsi plant. And in front of the tulsi, he used to chant 300,000 names of the holy name every day. So this way, entire day and night, he used to chant the holy name. And just to maintain his body and soul together, he used to go out for some brahmana's house to beg some food. And he was just focused on his own nirjan bhajan. But at that time, there was a landlord whose name was Ramachandra Khan, who was also a zamindar of that district. He became so much envious of the Vaishnavas. Now, this Ramachandra Khan, don't get confused with the surname of Khan. He was not a Muslim. He was a Brahmin. He was a Hindu Brahmin. And his name is Ramachandra Khan. So he was very much envious, and he was a great atheist also. So he was not able to accept all the respect that Haridas Thakur used to get. So he devised a plan in order to dishonor him, to bring his fame down. So what he did, he called on for some few local prostitutes, and he said that I need help from any one of you who can go and dishonor Haridas Thakur. And because he said that Haridas Thakur is such a mendicant that he has taken a vow of austerity and celibacy, and he is chanting the holy name of the Lord, but I want you to please deviate him from his vows of such kind of austerity. So among all those prostitutes, there was one girl who basically agreed that I will do this job and I will go and attract Shri Haridas Thakur, and within 3 days, I'll show you the results. So she was so confident that, she'll be able to defame Haridas Thakur. And then Ramachandra Khan said, okay, fine. So what you do, please go ahead, and one of my constables will follow you. And when he will see that you are getting intimate, associated with Haridas Thakur, then basically he will arrest both of you, and both of you will be brought in front of me. I will somehow release you, and we'll imprison the Haridas Thakur, and we'll give him the punishment. The prostitute said, that's fine. But what I suggest is that, let me go all by myself first night, and let me, get intimate with him, and then the next night also I will go again, and at that time one of your servant can accompany me, and then he can arrest, but at least for this first night let me go by myself. Ramachandra Khan agreed to it, and he said, okay, fine. And then that night prostitute was very much confident that she will be able to defame Haridas Thakur. She dressed properly and she went to the cottage of Haridas Thakur, where Haridas Thakur was as usual doing his Nama Japa, his Nama Sankirtan, and she went and she saw a tulsi plant. So what she did is that she bowed, she paid obeisances to tulsi plant, and then she paid obeisances to Haridas Thakur, and then she stood there. Now this was the start of her devotional service. When we say Agyata Sukriti, this is what Agyata Sukriti is. Unknowingly, she was not aspiring some benefit out of paying obeisances to such a stalwart devotee or to Mother Tulsi. Rather, you know, she just did it. She just did it as soon as she saw Tulsi Devi, and she just paid obeisances, and then finally she stood there. And she said to Haridas Thakur that, you know, you are so handsome and I'm so much captivated with your beauty, and so I want to get intimate with you. Only then I'll be able to maintain my body and soul together. So hearing all these words of prostitute, now Haridas Thakur, he said very humbly that, yes, definitely, I'll accept whatever you say. I'll fulfill all your desires, but wait until I finished my chanting, because I have a set number of rounds that I chant every day. So let me just finish my vow of chanting, and then whatever you'll say, I'll follow. This is how Haridas Thakur says. So he just didn't bluntly said, hey, how come you are here, you know? Because he's Haridas Thakur. He knows in heart what's going to happen. So very humbly, he accepted and he said, you have to wait. Let me finish my prescribed number of rounds, my vow. Let me finish it, and then I'll do whatever you desire. I'll fulfill all your desires. Hearing this, the prostitute said, okay, fine, I'll wait. And then she heard Haridas Thakur chanting on his beats. Haridas Thakur was chanting Vachik. Even the prostitute was able to hear. And what happened, the whole night passed. And in the morning, you know, this lady, you know, she got a little upset, but then she left the place, the cottage of Haridas Thakur. And she went straight to Ramachandra Khan and she said that, I was unsuccessful today, but I rest assure you that today, tonight, I will definitely be able to gain success in my plan. So then again, next night, she again went to Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur said, hey, I have certain number of rounds. Why don't you just sit? And if it happened that, you know, I'm not able to satisfy you tonight, then, you know, tomorrow, certainly, you know, I shall have union with you. So don't worry. But let's see, you can wait, you can hear, you can sit here. And let me see if I'm able to finish my rounds, then we can be united today. Otherwise, tonight, otherwise, tomorrow, definitely I will fulfill your desire. So the prostitute agreed, but, you know, it was late night. She again got disappointed because Haridas Thakur was continuously chanting his holy name. And then Haridas Thakur, and morning, again, it was morning time. Haridas Thakur said, please, please excuse me for my offenses. I'll certainly accept you tonight. You can come today, but, you know, I have a set number of rounds. So, you know, it takes so long for me to complete my vow, but definitely I'll be able to finish my rounds. And today evening you can come and we will get united. So this is now the third evening. So first and second evening was failure. And she again went to Ramachandra Khan and she said that, I told you, right, in 3 days, I'll show you the results. So now this is the third night. So give me one more chance and then I'll show you the result. And that evening, she, you know, came early. In little early evening, she came to Haridas Thakur's cottage. And Haridas Thakur said, hey, please sit down here. You are here? Yes, please sit down and hear the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra until my regular chanting is finished. And then definitely I'll fulfill all your desires. So after, again, she offered her obeisances to Tulsi plant, to Haridas Thakur, and she sat quietly in front of Haridas Thakur, and she heard Haridas Thakur chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now, this was the third evening that she was hearing continuously the holy name of the Lord from the lotus mouth of a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. So definitely, you know, that wouldn't have been gone to in vain. And so by getting that influence from Haridas Thakur, what happened? That prostitute also started chanting the name of Hari, 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 Hari. So as soon as she chanted, somehow she became restless, and that night also came to end. And Haridas Thakur then spoke that I have vowed to chant 10 million names in a month. I have taken this vow, but now it's nearing its end. So please kindly wait. Today, definitely, I'm going to finish my this yajna, this prescribed vow that I've taken of chanting the holy name. And I tried my best actually to finish this night, but I was not able. But definitely for tomorrow, I'll do it. And then you can come tomorrow again. But this prostitute, you know, she, her heart was totally transformed. She don't want to wait for another evening. And she simply said that, you know, I have come to you and I've heard this chanting and you have personally chanted this holy name. So, you know, definitely my whole heart is being transformed now. And now I don't need anything from you. And so she went to back to Ramachandra Khan, and she told that, you know, he is such a pure devotee, it's impossible to bring his fame down. And then she agreed that she was unsuccessful. And then she went back again to Haridas Thakur's cottage, and then she very submissively surrendered unto Haridas Thakur, saying that I accept you as my spiritual master, because by hearing the holy name from your lotus mouth, my heart got completely transformed. So she literally fell at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, and she confessed also that I didn't come here on my own, rather Ramachandra Khan has appointed me to pollute you. And to this Haridas Thakur said that I know that you have been sent by Ramachandra Khan. And he said, actually, when I came to know that, you know, he has devised this plan of defaming me, I had this opportunity, I would have left this place immediately and would have gone. But because you came, I stayed here for 3 days just to deliver you. So this was the hidden plan that Haridas Thakur had. He would have gone and he would have left that place. He was not attached to that forest or that cottage. But he said, but since I came to know that you are here and you paid obeisances to Tulasi Maharani, so I thought, okay, now let me deliver you. And that's why I stayed here. And then, you know, very beautiful verse, he said, then actually the prostitute, she said that kindly act as my spiritual master and instruct me so that I can get relief from these clutches of material existence. And then Haridas Thakur said, okay, my first instruction is that you immediately go home and distribute to the Brahmanas whatever property you have. So first thing is distribute everything, and then you can come back to this room, and then you can stay here forever and be Krishna conscious. So that was the first instruction. So following that instruction, and then he said that after coming here, you know, you can stay in this cottage because I'm going to leave, because I just stayed to deliver you. I'm going to leave. But then he also instructed that first thing, yes, you have to go and distribute whatever property you have. Go and distribute to all the Brahmanas. Come here in this cottage, chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord, and then always be Krishna conscious. And then he said, Nirantara Naam Lau Karat Tulasi Sevana Achirat Pabe Tave Krishna Racharana. So this is the important instruction that was given to her by Haridas Thakur. Nirantara Naam Lo means constantly keep on chanting the holy name of the Lord. Karat Tulasi Sevana, and here is the Tulasi plant, service, do service unto Tulasi Devi. Offer pradikshana, offer water, offer arati to Tulasi Devi. Achirat pave. Chirat means for a very, very long time. And achirat pave means in a very short time, in a short duration of time, Krishne racharana. You will be sheltered unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So this was the verse, you know, that was being said by Haridas Thakur. And then we come on today's verse, that after thus instructing the prostitute about the process of this chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Haridas Thakur stood up and he continuously chanted Hari Hari. On the other hand, prostitute, you know, that lady, she obeyed all the orders of Haridas Thakur because now she has accepted him as a spiritual master. So she went back to her home. She took all her possessions. She distributed everything to the brahmanas as Haridas Thakur instructed her. And then she came back to that cottage. And there she stayed in that room wearing just one single cloth and following the footsteps of her master. She chanted 300,000 names every day. So just like Haridas Thakur, she also started chanting day and night because Haridas Thakur instructed her that nirantara naam lo, constantly keep on chanting Kara Tulasi Sevan. And then she also worshipped Srimati Tulasi Devi. And she did is that Tulasi Sevana Kare Charavana Upavasa Indriya Damana Haila Premera Prakasha. So just by serving Tulasi Devi, by doing service to Tulasi Maharani, and by keeping fasting, upavas. Upavas means by fasting. And charavana. Charavana means accepting whatever comes on to her. Like she didn't go for begging any food. But whatever comes on to her, she'll accept it. If nothing comes as an alms, then that day she used to fast. And this way, Indriya Damana Haila, she was able to conquer all her senses. And Premera Prakash, and the symptoms of love of Godhead appeared in her. So this is the benefit of, first of all, accepting the orders of the spiritual master. And then worshipping Srimati Tulasi Maharani, who is the greatest devotee, and then chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord. And then the prostitute, she became a celebrated devotee and everybody was respecting her because she now became a Vaishnavi. So seeing the sublime character of this prostitute, everybody was astonished and everybody started glorifying the influence of Haridas Thakur and also to that prostitute, and everybody started paying obeisances to her. Now, moving forward, let's see how much we can go because I want to complete this whole episode of Ramachandra Khan, because we have to understand that this whole plan was devised by Ramachandra Khan. He was the one who basically bored the seed of offense by devising this whole plan of blaspheming Haridas Thakur, who was a pure devotee. So what he did is he sowed a seed. And when we know when the seed is sown, definitely it will fructify. And when it fructifies, it becomes a tree, it bears fruits and flowers. And then this fruit and flowers is what that we are liable of. Right? This happens to everything, everybody. So same thing happened with Ramachandra Khan also. Because he has sown a seed. First of all, the thought came in his mind to blaspheme Haridas Thakur because he was so much envious with the prestige, with the fame that with the respect that Haridas Thakur was getting in that district. And he being a big zamindar of that district was not getting any fame. So he got envious. So that first seed of enviousness was sown. And as soon as that seed of enviousness was sown, it started germinating. And then he started making plans to bring the fame of Haridas Thakur down. And what he did? We all know, we all heard that he devised a plan. He called upon all the local prostitutes and he told them to blaspheme Haridas Thakur. This is how the seed started germinating and it was becoming a plant. And slowly, with all his efforts, this whole plant became a huge tree. And now this huge tree was bearing fruits and flowers, which Ramachandra Khan is now going to eat. All those will be bearing all the reactions of his sinful activities. So now what happened is that Ramachandra Khan, he was naturally a non-devotee. We discussed in the starting that he was an atheist. And now he offended Haridas Thakur also. So by just blaspheming, he beared a very, very sinful reactions. So once what happened, Lord Nityananda, he returned to Bengal to preach this cult of bhakti, this cult of love of Godhead, and he began touring all over the country. So for two purposes, Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Ram, he began touring all over the country. So for two purposes, one was to spread the cult of bhakti, and the second is to defeat all the atheists. So for this Lord Nityananda, he moved all over the country. And then he came on to the house of Ramachandra Khan also. And as soon as he came on to the Ramachandra Khan's home, he immediately came and he sat down on the altar of a Durga Mandap. Okay. And Prabhupada explains actually in detail that what is all about Durga Mandap. So he said that in those days, there used to be very big buildings of all these respected people like Jamidars and all. And especially in Bengal, because Bengal is very famous for this Durga Puja. So what happened, their homes will be divided into two parts. So the inside part of the home will be meant for the family members, especially for the ladies, because they were not exposed to the general public, to the men. So the house will be divided into two parts. The internal part, the inside part, will be meant for the family, for the children, for the women of the home, because they are unexposed. And that part was known as Bhitara Bhadi. Bhadi means a part of a home, and Bhitara means inside. So that inside part of that house, that is known as a Bhitara Bhadi. But on the outside of the house, which is known as the Bahir Bhadi, means the outside home, there the respectable men, gentlemen, they would come, some visitors will come, they'll discuss about their business, about their office. And there would be a big mandap of Durga Mandap, outside of the house. So because Durga Puja is very, very, famous in Bengal, especially the Kali Puja. So the outside of the house would have a big Durga Mandap. And there, people would come gather and they'll do some kind of puja. And that outside of the house was basically meant for all the visitors, for the men to discuss about their job, about their office, about their business. So Nityananda Ram, Lord Nityananda, he immediately came to the house of Ramachandra Khan, and he directly came and sat on the altar of that Durga Mandap. So one of the servant, he went back in that Bhitari Bhadi, that in the inside of the house, that, and he informed Ramachandra Khan that this is what happened. So Ramachandra Khan, he immediately told that you go and tell Nityananda Ram that, we have made another accommodation for you. So, you go and inform. So the servant immediately came back and he told Lord Nityananda that Ramachandra Khan, my dear sir, he has sent me to accommodate you to some other common man house. So you please kindly get up from this area and then you can go to a house of a milkman. There's a cow shed there. It's very spacious. And here Durga Mandap, it's a very small place and it's very insufficient because you have quite a number of followers. So if you are sitting here, definitely all your followers will also accompany you. So this place will be very tight. So I'll make another arrangement for you in that cow shed. And that's very spacious. You can go and sit there and then all your followers can accompany you. Now, when Lord Nityananda heard this order from the servant of Ramachandra, he really became very, very angry. But then, in a very sarcastic way, he laughed and he said, oh, yes, your master Ramachandra Khan, he said very right. You know, whatever he said is very right. This place is really unfit for me because this place is only fit for those who are meat eaters, especially those who are killing cow. So definitely this place is not fit for me. So whatever your master said is very right. And having said this, Nityananda Ram, he left in a very, very angry mood. But he didn't say even a single word to Ramachandra Khan. Because Ramachandra Khan was still inside. Only the servant came and he conveyed that message. And Nityananda Prabhu, you know, he very kindly accepted it. But in a very sarcastic way, he laughed and then he said that, okay, I should go because this place is really unfit. This place is fit only for the cow eaters, those who kill cow, the meat eaters. So, but he didn't say anything to Ramachandra Khan and he left that place. And then Ramachandra Khan ordered, you know, as soon as Lord Nityananda left, Ramachandra Khan, you know, he ordered his servant to dig up some dirt from that place where Nityananda Prabhu has sat. And he said, not only to dig up that place, but also purify that whole mandap on which Lord Nityananda Prabhu, on which Nityananda Ram has sat. Just purify that whole place by sprinkling some, you know, cow urine and some cow dung. And just clean that place because now that place has become contaminated. See, still here. I'm sorry, still he has not learned from his mistake. He tried to blaspheme the Haridas Thakur, and now he's committing another offense to Nityananda Prabhu. And he said, please clean up that place because this place is really not good now because Nityananda Prabhu has sat on this place. So please dig up that and purify it with cow urine and cow dung. And still his mind was not satisfied. He was still, even after purifying that place, he was not satisfied. Ramachandra Khan was not satisfied. Now, on the other hand, what happened, Ramachandra Khan, he was a zamindar, right? But his business has become questionable because he was not paying taxes to the government. So the government's finance minister, he was a Muslim, and he came and he was very angry. The moment, you know, when Nityananda Prabhu left, he purified that place. At that time only, the government's minister, the finance minister, he came and he was very angry. He came to that residence of Ramachandra Khan and he was a Muslim. And he started saying that you have not paid the taxes. And out of anger, what he did is that he made all his residence in that Durga Mandap, at the same place where Nityananda Prabhu sat, at the same place, he made his own residence and he killed a cow and cooked meat at that place. So that abominable act was being done. And on top of that, he arrested Ramachandra Khan along with his wife and his sons. And he continuously plundered the house and the whole village also for 3 days. He used to cook meat, flesh of a cow. All 3 days he cooked there. And, you know, he basically plundered the whole village. And the Muslim minister then took away all Ramachandra Khan's position, his wealth, his followers. And for 3 days, you know, for many days, actually, that village remained deserted because that Muslim minister, he was literally plundering and exploiting everybody in that whole village. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that wherever an advanced devotee is insulted for one man's fault, the entire town or place is afflicted. Mahantrera apaman ye desha gramahaya eka janara doshe sabha desha ujhadaya. So just because he insulted, first of all, tried to insult Haridas Thakur, and now he literally insulted Nityananda Prabhu. So definitely because of his own fault, one man's fault, the entire place or town was being plundered and was destroyed. So everybody got inflicted. And then Haridas Thakur, he came back. So this is how he described the whole episode of Ramachandra Khan, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained. And then finally he went back to Haridas Thakur's episode that after instructing the prostitute, then, you know, he came, he left that place of Benapola forest and then he came to Chandrapur and there he stayed at the house of Balaram Acharya. So this is what, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained. And now somebody can ask, you know, that how, you know, why to bring this whole episode of Ramachandra Khan in between, because he instructed the prostitute in that forest and he left that place, Haridas Thakur left that place and he went to another place. But in between, you know, for 15 to 20 verses, this whole episode of Ramachandra Khan was brought in by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So why this happened and how, what learning we can take, I'll just take few more minutes to explain this and I request the host to please allow me to, so that I can share my screen so that I explain better. Okay.
Done. Mataji, please take your time. No hurry. At least I'm ready to listen for the next 1 hour also. That's fine.
I'll just take 10 more minutes and then...
Take your time. Don't hurry.
Thank you. So why this whole episode came in, I'll just say 1 minute. Are you able to see the screen sharing?
Yes.
What are you seeing?
Namo Nama Tulasi Krishna.
I'm seeing something else. Okay, this is not what I want to share. Bhagavati. I want to share this whole cycle which has been...
Okay, open up your document on the computer and then again press screen share.
I don't know why this has been. Let me close this so that it's easy for me. If I share this, then also this is coming. I don't know why this is only coming. It's not the Tulasi Arati. Anyway, if I'm not able to share, then I'll just try to explain the way. I'm not able to share, but...
Can you send the document? Text me.
Okay, that I can do. Are you, you know that there is a whole avidya cycle? Can you Google it? Okay. I WhatsApp you, Preeti Vilasni Mataji. See if you can help me share this document. Somehow, I don't know why I'm not able to do it.
Yeah, I'm seeing. Are you WhatsApp me already?
Yeah, I WhatsApp you.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, no problem. I got it also. So I'll just share it. So the yellow one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me open it up.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, what if you are able to share, that's fine. Okay, yeah, good.
You just want the picture, right?
I want this picture. So what I want to say is that why this whole episode came in and what we have to try to understand. Can you just a little bit show just the picture and remove all these? Okay. Yeah. So this is what the whole cycle, I hope now every one of you can see. So this is what the whole cycle is about. This first is avidya. So when I was talking that how Ramachandra Khan, he bore a seed, right? So this is what is bija. Okay, this seed is what is bija. Bija means a seed. And that seed is of the sinful desire. How Ramachandra Khan, he got envious and then he developed that desire, that sinful desire that I'm going to bring down the fame of Haridas Thakur. So this sinful desire, what it went through, it yield to sinful action. So this is what happened with us also. When we develop that sinful desire, that desire is still in a seed form. This whole chart is very, very wonderfully explained by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion. So I'll explain you in a brief that how this sinful desire then leads to sinful actions. Desire is there. As soon as we develop a desire, we start working on to fulfill that desire. And then we commit some action. So sinful desire will lead to sinful action. Now when the action is being performed, then what will happen? Two things happen. One is aprarabdha, unmanifest reactions comes to it. Like example of Ramachandra Khan. He developed that seed to blaspheme Haridas Thakur. He started acting on that and finally he acted also. He called upon all those prostitutes and he devised a whole plan. So sinful action was committed. Because the sinful desire was there, sinful action was committed. Now when the sinful action was committed, immediately you may not get a reaction. You may or you may not. Okay, it can be a prarabdha, that is a manifest reaction. It can be a prarabdha. So with all the sinful actions we perform, two things happen. Sometimes those actions will yield to immediate results, which is prarabdha. Immediate reactions comes to it, to our karma. Okay, which is known as prarabdha, manifest reaction. And that manifest reaction will lead us to suffering. But sometimes that action doesn't yield immediate result. Okay, then it becomes a prarabdha, like unmanifest reaction. Now let's see the example of Ramachandra Khan. Ramachandra Khan developed that desire. He acted on that desire. He committed a sinful action. And then what happened is, he had some unmanifest reaction, right? Because he was not paying his taxes. So that Muslim leader, you know, he was very much upset. But immediately the reaction didn't come. Then what happened? Some prarabdha got manifested because he again blasphemed Nityananda Ram. And when he blasphemed Nityananda Ram, the aprarabdha, that is the unmanifest reaction where he was not paying his taxes, even that episode came as prarabdha, as a manifest reaction, because he blasphemed not only Haridas Thakur, but also Nityananda Prabhu, right? So that also, that aprarabdha, that unmanifest reaction also became manifest, and finally the suffering happened and he was put behind the bars. And not only he, his wife, his children and all the villagers were also impacted because of his activity. So this is a one cycle. Right? And this bija, this starts with ignorance. The root cause is avidya, ignorance. This is the root cause because of which, through this ignorance, the seed developed, the desire developed, through the desire, actions happen, and then manifested and unmanifested reactions come. Now, sometimes what happened that aprarabdha, this unmanifest reactions, doesn't get transformed into prarabdha. Krishna doesn't give you all the reactions to your actions immediately. You know, he sometimes keep it as an account, right? Just to see and watch that how we are still dealing. Immediately the reactions may not come. It may or it may not come. Now, if it doesn't come, then the same action becomes a prarabdha and it's stored in the storehouse of Krishna's account as unmanifested reactions. But it leads to sinful disposition. Means there is a kutam. Kutam means there is a propensity to perform further sinful actions. So further sinful actions, to perform further sinful actions, that propensity still is there in us. Right, so this aprarabdha, this unmanifested reaction, what it does is, as a side effect to it, the kutam develops, means the some desire to perform, propensity is developed to desire more sinful activities, right? And then when we perform more sinful activities, then more sinful desires develop. Not only some desires, but all others' desires will also develop to perform some sinful actions. So this becomes the whole cycle. And this is what happened with Ramachandra Khan, that continuously he developed desires, he did actions, then he got unmanifested reaction, but he got propensities, that not only to blaspheme Bhardas Thakur, he developed that propensity that I am going to blaspheme now Nityananda Ram also. And then again that sinful desire developed to blaspheme Nityananda Ram. And then again he performed an action. He literally blaspheme Nityananda Ram by sending his attendant, by sending his constable, by servant. And then he got another aprarabdha. Everything got stored out. Now when the storehouse is full, then what happened? All this aprarabdha got manifest into prarabdha. So everything comes together. And finally, you know, that Muslim also came. That leader also came. And he literally imprisoned the whole family. And finally the suffering happened. So this is the chart that I want to, you know, explain. And this is the chart, this is the cycle through which we have to go out of it. And it can only be possible when this ignorance is replaced with knowledge. When it is replaced with knowledge, then definitely we will not get any kind of sinful desire. If we don't have any sinful desire, then definitely no actions will be, sinful actions will be performed, and then aprarabdha will not be there, and then propensities will not be developed, the kutam will not be there, and finally more seeds will not be sown in the soil of our mind or in our heart. And definitely we can get rid of this cycle. So this is the cycle. We should always keep in mind. I really like this, how beautifully Rupa Goswami has explained. I want to connect it to the story, this pastime of Ramachandra Khan. So thank you all so much. I'll stop here. It's already 12:15. And now we can take up any questions or any comments. You can end up. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Sundari Masaji. Thank you so much. Much awaited class. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it. Thank you for the very wonderful class. And I have a few questions and comments as well. So for the questions, Mataji, so when you were talking about parihasya, or chanting, when you were talking about namabhas, you mentioned about parihasya, that is, when you chant, making some fun. How can parihasya, and you said if parihasya is done without offense, then it is namabhas. How can parihasya even be done without offense? That's the question. Can you explain with examples?
Okay. So, that's what I want to say, that namabhas is when there is no offenses. Okay, period. That's the bottom line. If there are offenses, it is namaparadha. If it is without offenses, only then it can be categorized as parihasa. Now, parihasa is while mocking or mimicking someone to utter the holy name of the Lord. I'll give you the example. I think so it's been given in Chaitanya Charitamrita only. that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was supposed to appear on this material world, at that time there was a lunar eclipse, right? And everybody went to bathe. And that time everybody was chanting, all the Hindus, the Brahmanas, they were chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord. And seeing them, all the Muslims, they also started chanting the holy name. At that time, they were not offensive of chanting the holy name, but they were trying to mimic them. That they were just mocking at them, that see, they are chanting Hare Krishna. And seeing them, they also started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There was no offense as such, means they were not doing any offenses against the holy name, but they were simply mimicking the devotees. So that is what Parihasa. So even their chanting was a Nama Bhas chanting. It was not Nama Parad chanting. Okay. So
my question is, how can you mimic or mock someone without offending the Vaishnava or offending them? A person, like, what are the offenses in chanting the holy name? Not to offend the person who's chanting, right?
It's not always offensive. It's not. Sometimes you mimic just for a joke. You don't have any intention to offend somebody, but just you pass on to some joke, some sarcasm remark, but not to offend, but just to make fun of.
I get.
Just making fun of. It's not always, you cannot categorize it always in the offensive chanting. It's just making fun of.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, yes, makes sense. And the other one is when you were talking about Upanishads chanting. So at that time you did say that you tried it once and it took a lot of time, but Gayatri is generally done like that, right? So
Manasik. Gayatri is done as Manasik.
Uh-huh.
We chant Manasik japa. Yeah. It will take a long time. That's what I was sharing. Uh-huh. But Upamsu is still your lips and your tongue is moving.
Got it, got it. So when you chanted Upanishad that time, it became a lot of time. No.
I chanted Manasik. I tried to chant Manasik and it took 15 to 20 minutes to chant one single round.
Yeah, so then when you do Gayatri also, it takes long. Is that how we understand?
Yeah, Gayatri also, I have seen few devotees, no offense to them, but I have seen some devotees who chant their Gayatris with their lip movement. So when you, even I used to do it before. So when you chant your Gayatri with your lip movement, you will find, I have at least noticed for myself, that I'll finish my Gayatri between 3 to 3.5 minutes.
Huh.
But if I chant my Gayatri Manasik with my tongue, you know, tongue, it should touch your palate and your lips should be completely closed. Mm-hmm. If you chant Gayatri in that way, it will take around 5 minutes. Yes, Gayatris have to be chanted that your tongue should touch to your upper palate and then, you know, your lips should be completely closed. So that's how the Manasik, the focus of the mind should be completely on the mantra.
So that takes, even Gayatri also, it takes
a long time. Gayatri takes a longer time. But if you just murmur with your lip movement, you'll finish it in 3 minutes. At least I have noticed this.
So, and the third thing, I mean, these were the questions. The comment is that, so Nityananda Prabhu pretty much predicted what would happen next, right? Is that how we see?
What would happen means?
That,
this place is fit only for the meat eaters. And that's why that Muslim came and, you know, he literally cooked the cow over there, you know, he slaughtered the cow and then he cooked the flesh of the cow there.
Oh, okay, that was the reason for a sarcastic laugh. Okay, very nice, very, very nice. Thank you so much. Very good.
So thank you, Mataji.
That, you know, how that Upamsu is like Krishna. This is what is Upamsu Japa. You are saying only you are able to hear. Your lips and your tongue is moving. It's vibrating. But another person is not able to hear. This through Upamsu chanting, you can finish your round very quickly.
Yeah. I thought it's faster than even loud chanting.
It's faster. It's much faster. Upamsu is much faster than loud chanting. First is upamsu, and then comes the loud chanting, and then comes the
mantra. Yeah, very nice. Wonderful.
Thank you, Mataji, for such a wonderful class. Can you please explain Pratibimb Namabhas one more time?
Oh, yes. Pratibimb Namabhas, what I was explaining is, it's just a shadow. Oh, sorry. It's just a reflection. Chaya Namabhas is the shadow, like how the sun is covered. But Pratibimb is, Pratibimb, the meaning of Pratibimb in Hindi or Sanskrit, you can say is that part, like apna reflection. Reflection dekhna, right? Not apni parchai. Parchai is shadow. But apna reflection dekhna. Like when we see the reflection of the sun in the surface of the water. At that time, the sun is there in the water. But the effect of that sunlight is not there. Right? When the sun is shining in the sky, through the sun rays, we can experience heat. We can experience light. But when the same sun is reflected onto the surface of the water, there is no as such heat and light. We cannot experience that. So that is just a reflection. Okay. So Pratibimb Namabhas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Harinam Chintamani, that Pratibimb Namabhas can never ever come onto the platform of Shuddhanam. It's only Chaya Namabhas can come onto the level of Shuddhanam, but Pratibimb Namabhas cannot come onto the Shuddhanam. And that's why he says that if we see some Mayavadis, they normally chant this Pratibimb Namabhas because they chant not with the full conviction of the Lord's holy name. And that too, they just focus on to the reflection where they say that Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. They don't even consider this material nature as to be the part of the Supreme Lord, and they consider that it is just a Mithya. So through that Pratibimb Namabhas, one can never come onto the platform of Shuddhanam.
Thank you, Mataji.
Anything else?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Very wonderful class, Mataji. So much clarification. It was clear. Very nice class. Mataji, when Haridas Tagore instructed the future Vaishnavi, actually the prostitute, she's a future Vaishnavi. So while he instructed, he first told her to distribute everything she had material. So I'm trying to understand the philosophical reason why he said that. Is it to purify her or to take over a bad karma or to prevent her from futurely going into it? Like some philosophical ideas on it, Mother.
Consider it all. First of all, that, you know, the money, the possession she has incurred, she has as her possession was not from the right source because she was not doing the right job. It was her through his prostitution business that she earned. So first is to get rid of all those attachments, all those possessions. Second is, yes, to get rid of all the attachments also, because once she'll distribute, she'll find herself that, you know, she doesn't have any possession. And if we don't have any possession, the fear of losing that possession goes away. Right? So the attachment reduces. So it's both, you can say. First is to purify her money, because her money was not incurred with the right way. So she can purify it by giving all to the brahmanas. And second is, yes, you know, so that her attachment toward her possession goes away. And she just 100% get focused on Harinam.
Yes, Mataji, wonderful. That cleared it. Mataji, when you said the cycle, you were explaining wonderfully the cycle. I just was trying to, my mind was just connecting it with the case of Sisupal. So does it work with Sisupal also, Mataji? Because he put the seed like he was hated on Krishna and he was continuously blaspheming Krishna wherever he went. But he didn't get immediate result. It was like in the Kutam, it was storage. But when he went for the Yajna, and he immediately offended Vaishnava Sahadev, Krishna got very angry and he got these sufferings. So I was just trying to understand, does it work for everything like that?
For everybody. You can name anyone and this cycle works for everybody. Whether it's Hiranyakashipu, whether it's Hiranyaksha, whether it's Shishupal. But at the same time, we have to understand that all these people are basically the intimate servants of the Supreme Lord. They came here for a specific reason. They were sent here for the specific reason, just to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. But if we leave aside this idea that they were the intimate devotees of the Supreme Lord, but yes, you are right that this cycle works. It works this way only, yes. How he developed that desire, that he didn't like Krishna at all. And then through that desire, he started doing some sinful actions, that he started blaspheming Krishna. But since Krishna promised that I'll forgive your 100 mistakes and 101 mistake you commit, I'll kill you. So he did it. So, and that sinful actions, you know, immediately it didn't manifest. It was in the storehouse as a prarabdha, which was supposed to get manifest. And since it was in the storehouse, he developed more propensities to blaspheme because he was thinking, oh, Krishna cannot do anything. So I have the full audacity to blaspheme him. And he started doing it in that Rajasuya Yajna. And at that time, everybody tried to stop Shishupal that you don't do this. But he said, oh no, this cowherd man. And, you know, he started saying all those words to Supreme Lord, to Krishna. And then as soon as Krishna said, I'm counting on it. And then when 100 was passed, and then Krishna took his Sudarshan and he gave him mukti. So at that time when Krishna personally kills, he gives liberation. Okay. So that point we have to understand. So they came for the specific purpose. But we conditioned soul are always in the cycle of this kutam, bijam, aprarabdha and prarabdha. We are always in this cycle. So just to get rid of this cycle is to work on the root cause, which is avidya, ignorance. So just replace that ignorance with knowledge. And then, you know, definitely this whole cycle will be cut off.
Yes, Mataji, that makes more sense. Because in real life, example, Mataji, we see some people who do bad mistake. They keep on doing it, telling, okay, if your God is seeing me, why is not punishing me? Yeah. But they don't understand it is kept in the storage.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It will manifest eventually. Yeah. It's a matter of time. Because we also, we see that those who are really, you know, on a very high, and then they go on and on and on and on, and we know that they are doing something bad, but still, you know, through their material prosperity will increase like anything. And we also get bewildered that why, you know, they are doing so sinful actions, but still Krishna is not punishing them. So we should try to understand it, that it's just a matter of time. It's just that Krishna is giving them chance to please get beware of, you know, get alarmed. But when they don't, finally, it's said, right? The more you go up, and from there, if Krishna makes you fall, you'll get more hurt. Because if you fall from the 10th floor or you fall from the first floor, there'll be a huge amount of difference.
Yes. Yes, Mataji. And we have seen them falling down also. In the same lifetime, we have seen them. They go to a higher height and then they fall down. But still they don't learn the lessons, or the people around them, they don't learn the lesson because they don't have this knowledge that you gave us today about the cycle and everything. Now this gives us a knowledge. So we will just stop there. And one final question, Mataji. So when because of your blessings and your mercy, we are getting to know more about this Nama Bhash and everything, like Chaya, Pratibimba. But when Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to door by door and say them, to request them to chant Hare Krishna mantra, obviously they're not going to give all these details. So in what mood the people will be chanting? Because like right now, if I am talking to my friend and she don't know anything about this, and I may tell her, you just try to chant Hare Krishna, I'm also obviously not going to tell any of these details. So in which criteria they will be, Mataji? In Nama Bhash?
Nama Bhash.
And in Nama Bhash, which one, Mataji? Like you said, many divisions, right? Like Sanketa.
If they are very respectively saying, or It's totally a namabhas. Like when we go for book distribution, right? Mm-hmm. And we and some people, they open the door, they are very receptive. And then we tell them that please chant this Maha Mantra. So again, it depends upon their mood, you know, that how they are chanting. Some people are really genuine and they want to chant. And so they'll, you know, listen to you attentively and then they'll chant. Some people will just try to imitate you, you know, just mock at you. Or, okay, if you are saying Hare Krishna, I'll say Hare Krishna. So it depends. But yes, all they are chanting the first time, you know, when they are chanting and when we see, when we go to some events of book distribution, we see a lot of people chanting and dancing on this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now, it's not that they're always chanting or dancing in some particular pure mood. Sometimes they are dancing just to make fun of. Sometimes they are drunk. And they are chanting. But everything there falls in the Namabhas because they are not committing any offense against the holy name. It's just that they are doing it. Either you are telling them or they are drunk or they want to imitate or they just want to make a joke out of it. Whatever the mood is, that their mood is different. But yes, everything will be in a Namabhas state. And now Namabhas doesn't mean that the moment they chant, it will become into pure Nama. No, you have to keep on chanting in that Nama Bhas only, in that clearing stage. And slowly, slowly, when you keep on chanting, the process itself is so purifying that it will become a Shuddha Nama.
Yes, Mataji, that is wonderful. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the such beautiful class and very wonderful question and answer session. Hare Krishna, Jai Sachinandana.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I have one question. So like Ajamila did like lots of mistakes in his life, but like he was not that, he was really sinful. Mm-hmm. But like when he was like dying and like why did he like not go to Yamaraj's loka when he did these many mistakes and sinful things in his life.
Hmm. Very good, Kartik. So
this is Anshu Mataji.
Okay, Anshu. Anshu, the thing is, what Jamil was in a previous life, so definitely he was a very good Brahmana, following by all the, you know, he was following all the rules and regulations of being a Brahmana. But then certain situations happened in his life. And then, you know, he fell from his Brahminical culture. And when he fell from his Brahminical culture, he was engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. Like stealing and gambling and intoxication and all those things happened. So, you know, definitely his life was totally transformed in a negative way. But then because his second wife, who was also a prostitute, she served the Bhakti Vedantas. And the Bhakti Vedantas, Sama Bhagavats, who came to their place, they told that since you are pregnant, you just name your son as Narayan. So at that time, when Yamaraj Dutas, when Yamadutas came, Ajamil was chanting the name of his son. You know, he was not at all chanting the holy name of the Lord. He has no desire of even chanting the holy name, but without offenses, as a Sanketa Namabhas. He was chanting with Namabhas only, but that fall in the category of Sanketa. He was saying the holy name only. He was saying the name of the Supreme Lord, but he was referring to his son. He was not uttering the holy name with the mood of remembering the Lord. Rather, he was uttering the holy name because he was pointing on to his son. He was calling out to his son whom he was so much attached to. Now, the potency of holy name is such that when you chant the holy name, Krishna, being so merciful, he takes that, even if you are pointing on to somebody else, Krishna personally takes it to himself. That I am the one that whom you are calling. That's the potency of a holy name. That's the magnanimous nature of the Lord's holy name. that the Lord considered that, oh, this person is calling out to me, even though that person is calling out to somebody else. So since the Lord thinks that, oh, he's calling out my name, he immediately sent Vishnu Dutas. Now, Vishnu Dutas, when they came, now Ajamil was on such a stage that he was not chanting pure name that he can go directly to Vaikuntha. He was not chanting because going to Vaikuntha is just like, because once you go, yat gatva nirvartante tad dhama paramamma. Krishna says when you go there, you don't come back. So Ajamil was not on such a pure platform where he can go directly to Vaikuntha. Because going to Vaikuntha is just like opening your safe deposit. I don't know whether you know about it or not. But in the banks, you have a safe deposit in which you can keep your jewel and your important stuff. So how you open that safe deposit? You open that bank, they gave you a key. They give you a key and the bank also has its own key. So when you go and open your safe deposit, you have to put in your key. And at the same time, bank will put on their key and both of them will be turned together. And then the locker opens, the safe deposit gets opened. So similarly, when we say that we have to get rid of this cycle of birth and death and go directly to Vaikuntha Loka, that can happen only when our sadhana is strong, that is our bank key. And then bank's own key, that is Krishna's mercy, when they both together come, then, you know, yad gatva nirvardante tad dhamma paramam. We don't come back and we attain this position of the abode of the Supreme Lord. Now, Ajamil's case was that he was not on a pure platform where he can go directly to Vaikuntha Loka. Now, since he was chanting the name of Narayana, he was also not considered to be sinful. Because Krishna says, Antakale chama meva smarana mukta kalevanam. Antakale, at the time of death, those who chant my holy name, you know, those who chant or those who remember me, they are simply liberated. So he was not on to the position where he can attain Vaikuntha Loka. And because he chanted the holy name of the Lord, even though it was on a Namabha stage, but he chanted the holy name, so he was not entitled to be taken by the Yamadutas. So that's why he was given a second chance. He was given a second chance. He was given the longevity of his life where he could have few more years. And then that second chance is what he got. And then he perfected his life. He went, he left all his sinful activities. He left his family. He left everything. And he straight away went to the pilgrim page, that is to Haridwar. And there he chanted the Shuddha Naam and perfected his life. So that's why, you know, he was neither taken to Vaikuntha nor being taken by Yamadutas, rather being given a second chance. And just on this pastime, Prabhupada also wrote a book, Second Chance. So this is the second chance we all have got. If we go back and reflect our own life before coming to Krishna consciousness, who were we? We were doing all those sinful activities, especially I'll talk about myself. But now even I have got this second chance where I can perfect my life and can transform my future. Hope that helps.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Anshu. Thank you for your beautiful question always.
All that time, you're still unmuted.
Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice class, Mataji. Thank you for revising many points. It became more clear with me today. Thank you so much. So Mataji, you said told the four types of Chaya Namabhas. Which is the third one, Mataji? While singing, we can get the Namabhas while singing.
Yeah. So first I was telling about Sankheta, right? Then we said Parihasa, then we say Stoba, and then the Hela.
Okay, Stoba. Okay. So, this Parihasa, even I had the same question actually. How jokingly is not the offense? So like when you explained, I was thinking, can we consider the example of Krishna and Gopas? Like sometimes Gopas, they tease Krishna, but it's completely with pure heart. And
oh, that we cannot compare to that. No, no. Because Gopas are always on the Shodhanam.
Okay.
You can take the Parihasa example, like I was giving an example to Lakshmi Mataji when we go out for book distribution.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'll chant in a Parihasa way. Just, you know, they'll try to imitate us or mimic us, but they have no offense, you know. Yeah. They don't want to commit any offense against Holy Name. They're just doing it because they're thinking that, oh, it's a fun to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither they have that loving relationship, that they're doing it in that loving relationship mood with the Supreme Lord. Neither they are offensive of the Supreme Lord, but they're just doing it for the fun.
Okay, yeah, sure. Thank you, Mother.
They're not offensive. That's why it is Namabhas.
Okay. So in this Namabhas, there is no, like sometimes they take Naam with the anger also, like how Lakshmi Mataji was saying, Shishupal, or many other demons. So that is not included in Namabhas. Okay.
That is Namaparad.
Okay. So anger is not.
When you commit offense, it is Aparad, Namaparad. Okay. If it is without offensive, then only it is Namabhas.
Okay, sure. Okay, Mataji. And Mataji, you said that Haridas Thakur, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked questions to Haridas Thakur, and even he was thinking, why he's asking me? He's the Supreme. But still he accepted, because devotees accept, and then he started to answer. Mm-hmm. But then what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking by asking him questions, what he had in his mind, why he...
Give credit to Haridas Thakur. He wants to glorify Haridas
Thakur. Okay.
That was his mood. Like the example normally our Acharyas gave, right? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't so, he was competent that he can deliver the whole world. But he didn't do it. He left the half work done to be done by Srila Prabhupada. Right? Just to give credit to his devotee.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I could speculate, but I wanted to get it clarified, confirmed from you. So
yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you so much.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful.
Very, very merciful.
Yes.
Magnanimous. Mahavadanaya.
Yeah. And the last cycle program was very nice. Thank you for explaining that. It becomes more clear, and how we get entangled by doing more and more and more, and then it gets repeated, the cycle again gets repeated. That
Mr. Rupa Goswami, how beautifully explained in Nectar of Devotion.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Rinda Mataji. Thank you, Mr.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Mataji, very nice class, Mataji. I have a question. So we are dealing with this account of having sinful activities accumulated over the period of time, and that will burst at some time. So I have a question, Mataji. In this period, if someone knowingly or unknowingly has did some good deeds also, and he has accumulated good deeds also at that time, same level.
Mm.
So when will the person will have to face this sinful reactions or very bad situations because of his sinful activities?
It's side by side. It doesn't get nullified. If you do or you do one bad and it's nullified, becomes zero. No. We have to bear the reactions of our sinful actions also, and we have to bear the reactions of our good activities also.
Okay.
That's why, you know, it is said that where Krishna says that you have to do a karma. Because if you do karma, which is a good activity, then also you'll bear the results. And you have to come back in this world to bear it. And if you do vikarma, which is a forbidden activity, then definitely because it is sinful, you have to bear. So better do it a karma. That's why Bhagavad Gita says. A karma means delegate everything onto me. He means Krishna. Delegate everything onto the Supreme Lord. So all the activities will be a karma. It will not yield any results, any reactions.
Hmm. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
But it doesn't get nullified. Don't think that one good and one it will become zero. That mathematics doesn't work in spiritual world. It's only in our algebra that, you know, plus and minus get negated.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. So, Mataji, with this note, can we end the call, Mataji, if there are no more questions?
Mataji, can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, Vinita, Mataji.
Mataji, an extension to Supriya Mataji's question, I just want to explain the situation and I'll ask you the question, Mataji. See, you said to do akarma, right? Not the karma, not the vikarma. We have to do akarma. But sometimes, even though we are doing everything to Krishna, but our previous karmas are still there within, like, we have to suffer the problems. But we see that cases also where devotees suffer everything, but Krishna gives the strength. So what do we understand about that?
Very good question, Vinita Mataji. Very, very beautiful question. Till the time we have not seen our country where we have taken birth, our parents, our siblings, this is what is our prarabdha karma. Okay, we have already got the reactions of our past. That is why, you know, we get a particular set of parents, we get a particular set of family, we get some siblings, we get our country. So this is all is what is prarabdha, because it has already manifested now. We get a certain type of body, we get a certain type of skin, you know, this is all prarabdha karmas that has already been manifested. Now, in Harinam Chintamani, it is said that the moment you chant your Hare Krishna, all your prarabdha and all your aprarabdha, it becomes zero. That is why when we take initiation, through this process of initiation, Hari Bhakti Vilas states that when we take initiation, our slate, that our blackboard, it becomes neat and clean. There is nothing on it. All our prarabdha, all our aprarabdha, it becomes zero. We are making a fresh start. That is why it is known as initiation, the beginning. Right? Now, after initiation, whatever we do, whether it is sinful or whether it is good, then it keeps on adding. So, to answer your question, when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, our prarabdha and aprarabdha, everything gets over. But if we continue thinking that, you know, let me do the sinful activity because anyways I'm chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, anyway it will become zero, that consciousness will bring nama aparadha, because one of the offense is to chant the holy name on the strength of committing sinful activities. The seventh offense is this, to chant the holy name, to consider the chanting of the holy name and to chant it onto the strength of committing sinful activities. So if we chant the holy name thinking that, oh, let me commit anyways through chanting my prarabdha and aprarabdha will get zero, that consciousness, that thought will make us chant, that will transform into nama aparadh. And when we do nama aparadh, then there is no hope. Hope you got it.
Yes, Mataji, I got it. But sometimes we see pure devotees are also suffering, right?
So pure devotees, when they are suffering, we should not think that they are suffering because of their karma. That is also, you know, not good to think. That's an offense of thinking that the pure devotees, when they are suffering because of their karma. It is just, you know, to teach us the lesson that how we can implement by seeing their life. Example, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, how he left. His whole leg was amputated. He got a terrible cancer. Now, we cannot think that he got it because of his karmas, because he was just that how he's going to leave his body. You know, there has to be some kind of, like in Hindi, bahana banna hota hai, right? Like there has to have some reason so that a person can leave that body. So what that reason is, that Krishna can decide. Like Aindra Prabhu, how he lived such such a pure devotee, how he left this planet. He was cooking for the Lord, and immediately the whole LPG cylinder, it got bursted. Right? So he left. My Gurudev, he got COVID. How can a COVID, just a normal virus, can affect a pure devotee? But it's just the way that they have to leave the life. And when they leave their life, or when they do so-called suffering, which we think is suffering, but for them it is not, how Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left his body, even the last time he was smiling. In his last few minutes also he was smiling. So what we called it as suffering is actually not suffering. It's just that they have to leave their body in such a way just for the disciples or others, so that they can learn from their life. Hope you got it, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, got it, Mataji. That's what I'm saying. Like, where Krishna will come for them and Krishna will be with them. And that will not touch any pain is not going to be with them. We will see with our material eyes, we might think that they are suffering, but it's not they are suffering. Thank you, Mataji. It's really very nice.
Thank you. Even when my Gurudev left, I even heard so many people, you know, because social media, you know, you can speak whatever you want, whatever comes to your mind. So some people were real offensive, that thinking that, oh, His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj did so much in his life, but see how he ended his life. Nobody was there to chant for him. Hey, who are we to comment, right? Because Sankirtan, as I just said, is not when so many people come and chant. Sankirtan is Samyukt Rupena, when you are chanting with your whole soul, with your thoughts. So, saying something, we are simply increasing our offenses, so we should not do it. And how these pure souls, they leave their body, and what happened to them. For us, you know, it looks like that, oh, Guru Maharaj was in total pain and, you know, there were so many tubes on his body, we were suffering. No, he was not. Right? It's our mentality, offensive mentality, if we think that it was a suffering for him. It was not. He was with Prabhupada, he was with Krishna, and Krishna was there to take care of him.
Thank you, Mataji. Got it, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji,
who is this?
Jahnavi, I have a question.
Oh, Jahnavi, you also have a question? Go ahead.
Why does Garuda eat meat?
Why do?
Garuda eats meat.
Oh, because Garuda is in a board. Garuda, right?
Yes.
Because Garuda is in the body, of a vulture, where its food is to eat flesh. So Garuda normally eats snakes. So that's a particular body, you know. Like, for example, you see a lion, right? Lion also eats meat. It's a carnivorous animal. But the lion, other species, they don't have karma to it. Okay, it's only this karma section is only belongs to human beings. If we will eat meat, Krishna will punish us, right? But if a lion is eating meat, no, because the lion has to eat meat because lion's body is made up of that. So that's a food cycle. Your mom can explain, you know, jivasya jivanam. Jiva jivasya jivanam. The other living entities are the life of other higher living entities. But we human beings, especially we are so much into Krishna consciousness, we should not eat meat because Krishna says that you have to offer me patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. That's what Krishna accepts. And we eat only Krishna prasada. Right? So Garuda, since he is in the body of that vulture, and vultures, they are carnivorous, so therefore Garuda also eat meat. Okay, Jahnavi?
Okay, Mataji.
Thank you, Jahnavi. Okay, Shyamaji.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna devotees. So thank you so much. So if there are no more questions, we can pay our obeisance to Kirtida Mataji. Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much for this wonderful class, Mataji, and very giving your valuable time and association. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya krupam sindho vyayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindhi ki jai. Namachari Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Har Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
I want to say,
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda. Thank you, everyone.